session in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we are winding down to our visiting minister's arrival. But before he comes for the evening, the second session, I want to just take a few minutes. The dancers, as you are coming back, okay? Yeah, man, you are coming back. So, take a little rest. Yeah. I think Michael is joining you this time. Reverend Calvin is joining you this time. Apostle, you're welcome. It's good to see you. We miss you for the day. Okay, so just want to share quickly about the measurement ministry. But before then, two books on anointing. They're all in the Macarius. Make sure you get a copy of books. We have a lot of books available to help you in your ministry. After the conference is over, these books will stay with you. This is Steps to the Anointing. Steps to the Anointing. Anointing is very important. The Bible says that it is not by might, nor by power, but by spirit, saith the Lord. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. In this book, you learn reasons why you must be anointed. And one of the reasons why you must be anointed, you see, anointing is not a certificate. In fact, the disciples of Jesus Christ, you see that as the church has developed and has grown over the years, we have introduced a lot of human things. But you realize that something like even new converts class, there's nothing like that in the Bible. If you're going to follow the Bible strictly. Oh. I don't know if I missed it, but is there a verse in the Bible that says that when somebody is born again, you take the person through 3 weeks of new converts class? Is there anything like that? Before you even baptize the person. We have baptism class. We have all kinds of things in the church. If you look at it strictly in the Bible, they are not there. But they are very helpful. I'm not saying that they are not helpful. They are. But they are not in the Bible. Are you with me? In the same way, Jesus taught us how people can become ministers. And he's our greatest example. Jesus is there's nothing, not even Paul. There's nobody in the Bible who should teach us how to live our lives than Jesus Christ. And when Jesus had the opportunity to raise ministers, there was no Bible school. Am I saying something? I don't know why you are quiet. Is it bedtime or something? You're listening. Jesus chose 12 disciples and he asked them to follow him and that they will become ministers. Without divinology, demonology, a church history, eschatology, all the logics and logics and logics, they actually make people proud because knowledge puffs up. But you see that Jesus poured himself into these 12 men, and that's how they changed the world in their days. So when you look at ministry, ministry is not by certificate. Ministry is by the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God that came upon the disciples that made them do the things they did. You can have masters in eschatology, masters or doctorate in church history, and not be able to cast out the devil, or cannot even grow a church, or cannot even raise funds, or cannot even preach salvation messages. It takes anointing.
Jesus told the disciples, don't try to preach until you receive the promise that my Father gives. That's what he told them. And so in Acts chapter 1, they gathered after Jesus ascended into heaven. They gathered every day they were praying. Every day they were praying. Every day they were praying until on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost came down. And so it's very important to understand anointing and how you can catch an anointing and how it works. This book will teach you steps to becoming anointed. How many want to be anointed? Yeah. One of the things about anointing is that when you are anointed, you do the same things that the person who carries the anointing does. The only evidence that you are anointed is that you do the same thing that an anointed person has done. Jesus said, John the Baptist was Elijah who was to come. That's a very fantastic thing. It means that it's almost like Elijah was reincarnated. How do we know that John the Baptist was carrying Elijah's anointing? If you read the Bible, you will see that Elijah used to dwell in the deserts. John the Baptist was also preaching in the wilderness, saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Are you following me? How do you know that John the Baptist was indeed Elijah who was to come? Because Elijah confronted, he had problems with Ahab, the king of his day. He had problems with his wife Jezebel, the queen of the day. The same thing with John the Baptist. In his days, he had a problem with Herod for marrying his brother's wife Herodias. And Herodias didn't like John the Baptist, like Jezebel didn't like Elijah. You see the similarities. You can only know you are anointed when you are able to do the things that the man who you have received the anointing from does. An anointing is in people. There's a book on the anointed and his anointing. Do we have that? Liz, do you have? Yeah, give me one of those books. The anointed and his anointing. And so, the steps to anointing is very, very important. You need to walk the ways. You need to walk the steps to receive anointing. Otherwise, your ministry will be dry. One of the things that I say is, lubricants are even very important in engines. Engine oil, brake fluid, transmission oil, all these oils, without their workings in vehicles, your car will not move. Grease, bicycles, generators, excavators, all these things, they move by virtue of oil and grease. And it's the oil and grease, the movement that keeps them working and effective. It is oil. Without oil, your ministry will not last. The difference maker in any man's ministry is the anointing that God gives. Hallelujah. So in this book, you learn that the anointing is upon somebody, or is with somebody, or is in somebody. You didn't know that? You learn from here. The anointed and his anointing by Dagwood Mills. Anointing is upon. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4 verse 18 that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he has anointed me to preach the gospel. So the anointing can be upon somebody, can be with somebody. Jesus, the Holy Ghost will come. He will be with you. He'll be with you. And he said, he will dwell in you. Once you find somebody who has those signs of the anointing, then you have to look at what can you do? What can you do? What are the steps? E, are you there? Ravi, are you here? The steps to the anointing that is upon your man of God. Then you have catch the anointing. Catch the anointing. Anointing is caught. Many ministers are deceived. They think that God will just anoint them. God does not anoint people. God has left anointings here. Anointings are in men of God. You have to be. You see, God has done that so that people will be humble. Because if God was, number one, God calls people. And so God calls many people. And because God calls all of us differently and give us all of us different missions and purposes, we don't even like to relate with one another. Because I don't have time for you. You don't have time for me. Because God has called me to do something different from what you have been called to do. So that is where we even divide more. Because we have been called to different purposes and different plans. Are you watching the screen or you're with me? I see many of you are watching on the screen. Stay with me. Let the screen people do their work. Are you there? So anointing is here on earth. And God wants humble people to catch anointing by relating respectfully with a senior man of God who has anointing. And that's why I've said, and I have said it for years, that it's unfortunate sometimes we don't have good examples around us where we can learn or catch anointing from. How many of us ministers can say that you are doing what you are doing because somebody in Guyana laid their hands on you? That's why you're doing the things you're doing. How many of us can say that? Very few. Because everybody believes they are called by God and you don't need anybody. It's pride. You can only do what you are doing if you can identify somebody who is doing the same things. And that is maybe why we don't have large churches. That is why we maybe don't have successful ministries in the country, because there is nobody who has it to release it to us. Unless God gets vexed to introduce somebody else into the system. And it's always, you see, God is a spirit and he always works through people. Sometimes he works through people that you don't like, but he doesn't care whether you like them or not. People doesn't like John the Baptist. Jesus said, what did you go out to see? You think John the Baptist came, he didn't drink, he didn't eat with you, he didn't fellowship with you. You say he was strange. I came, I'm flowing with you, eating and moving around you. You say, I have an evil spirit. What do you want? So it is God's plan, it is God's principle. And you have to understand it. He gives anointing to people. And then he expects people to humble themselves under that person who has the anointing, so they can receive it. Psalm 133. If you have there. If your screen is working. Is it working? I can go ahead. It's working. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's a beautiful scripture. He goes on to say in verse 2, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. Is Cherry here? Where's Cherry? Okay. Do you see the process? The precious ointment is first upon the head. You get it? Then it goes down to those who are positioned after the head. It means that if you are going to catch an anointing, if you are going to receive an anointing, you must have a head who has that anointing. Otherwise, if you are a beard without a head, oil is nowhere coming down. That is why I'm saying that anointing is caught because God will place somebody who has done some things, who has gone ahead, who has blazed the trail, who he expects you to humble yourself, see him as a father, see him as a mentor, see him as this, and then the oil on the person, if you have the right spiritual eyes, you can catch it from that person. Hallelujah. So it comes down from the head, down the beard, even Aaron's beard, because Aaron's the high priest, he's the anointed one. Then he says, and he went down to his skirt and his garment. So it comes, it falls from the head, and it comes down. The head, it comes down. So it is unfortunate when you don't have a spiritual head. Every minister must have a spiritual head. Oh yes. Who are you? You are Melchizedek? Are you Melchizedek? Are you Elijah the Tishbite? These are people who we never got to know where their anointing came from. Are you with me? Because the Bible says, when we got to know of Elijah, he was just introduced. Elijah the Tishbite. That was it. Then Melchizedek, we don't know where he came from. Those are strange people that are introduced, and then they are the heads that anointing is supposed to be received from. Are you following me? And so you catch an anointing. One of the secrets to catching an anointing is to associate with men who have the anointing. To associate with them. The Bible says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. No matter how good you are, if you find a company that is not good, you will change. The Bible says, whilst Elijah and Elisha talked, as they walked and they talked, then from nowhere, the chariot came and parted them. And then he dropped his mantle. But it came through the walking. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire. So association will make you catch an anointing. That's why you have to associate with people who are ahead, not people who are below or on the same level. That's a book for you. Catch the anointing. Amen.
All right.
Let me touch on this quickly. I see my visiting minister is almost around the corner. There is a ministry that God wants me to introduce to you quickly, which is the ministry, the measurement ministry. Every pastor, the symbol of a pastor is a rod and staff, right? And if you go to Revelation chapter 11, let's go to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says that, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod. A reed like unto a rod. So you see that the shepherd has a rod and a staff. Are you following? Are you with me? Yeah. He gave me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. The rod of the priest is a measuring tool. It means that every minister must endeavor to assess themselves and their ministry. You have to know where you are and where you are not. You have to measure yourself. Because sometimes when somebody comes to tell you that you are this, we get vexed with them. We get annoyed with them. We see that, why is this person talking like that? In fact, many people don't even like rebuke and corrections. They don't like to hear things that will push them, things that will shake them. People don't like that. If you do that a lot, people say, oh, this, that, I don't like him. I don't like how he speaks. I don't like how he talks. I don't like his philosophy about women. Are you there? He says, and there was given me, the pastor, the priest, and was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood and he said, get up! Man of God, get up! Measure your church. Check the size of your church. The building is too small. You've been here for many years. The building is too small. When are you going to extend? Measure it. It's a 30 by 45. You have been here for 15 years. 30 by 45. Are you not tired? Measure. I said, measure. The angel said, you have been lying down for too long. Get up. Get up and measure. Get up and assess. Check it. Take a measuring tape. You don't have a measuring tape. Get up. Get up. And measure the temple of God. And he says, the altar. The altar is where ministry comes from. You have to assess your ministry. How is the impact? What have you been doing? Are you affecting people? Oh, you're not affecting people. You see, there are ministries that are popular, but they are not affecting anybody. You understand? That's what I was telling you about a man of God who, by the grace of God, he was showing me some videos of his church and his ministry. And then, I told him, you know, when I saw him, I realized that he wanted me to see things. Amen. Wow. The bishop is here. God bless you. You may be seated. Bless you. Bishop, you're welcome. All right. So we are looking at the measurement ministry. Measurement ministry, which comes as a symbol of the rod that a shepherd carries. The scripture says, it was given unto me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar. So we are saying that the angel told the man of God to get up and measure his church, the size of his church building. It's very important to measure the size of your church building and see whether the size of your church is big or not. Are we okay? We good? We good? Folks, are we good? All right. I met a pastor from a neighborhood in Georgetown a few years ago. And he was telling me about the population of people in the village where he is at. He said there are 7,000 people. When I heard the 7,000, then I said, this number is very interesting. I was very impressed that he knew the number of people in the village. But when I saw the size, the building, the structure of his church, I realized that he was not ready to receive any increase into his church. Because his church was very small. The building was very small. Which means that you know that there are 7,000 people in the area. Maybe 6,500 or something like that, they are not saved. But your church, the capacity of a church is just 70 people. So you have no plans. You have no dream. You have no aspiration. to get those who are not saved into the church. So the Lord is saying, check your church site, check your church building. Is it small or is it not small? That's why you have such a big church building. And when you have a big church building, also, you also have to fill it. It's just not enough to have a big church building, but you have to fill it. And it's going to be filled in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That is why we are having church growth. It is possible. Because we want to see the church grow beyond our boundaries and borders. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. The Bible said, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Examine yourself. It's very important for every man of God at every season of your life to examine yourself. One of the major moments I examine myself in ministry is, when is my birthday? Yeah, because it's a season where another year is being given to me. So I ask myself, have I been faithful the past year? I don't answer my phone on my birthday. You can call me 2 million times, I won't answer. It's a day I dedicate to just being in the presence of the Lord and reflecting. I assess myself. How many churches do I have? How many branches do I have? How many pastors do I have? How much am I doing? How many souls have I won? All this is a good way of us. The Bible says, if examine yourself. It is important for every minister to examine yourself. Otherwise, you can be coolly in your area and think that you are mega and you are nothing. The Bible says, he that thinketh himself of something he is not, he deceives himself.
1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15. Finally. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. In them that are saved, and them that perish. Axel, is it that one? Does he go on to say something? Is that my scripture? It's 1:2:16, Maxwell. 1:2:16. Verse 2:15, yeah. He said, but he that is spiritual judges all things, and yet he himself is judged of no man. You have to judge all things. How long have you been in ministry? How long have you been in ministry? You see, in the secular realm, people analyze their things. I when I was coming on the mission field, I lived a few weeks in Trinidad. And I was told that McDonald's came to Trinidad and didn't work. McDonald's restaurant. They entered into Trinidad and Tobago and it didn't work. So they pulled out. And then they came back a few years later after judging all things. Because McDonald's is a hamburger kind of thing. But what they realize in the Caribbean is that people like chicken. They like to chew chicken. Chicken breast, chicken thighs, chicken wings. That's why KFC is doing well in the Caribbean. So when they came back to Trinidad and Tobago, they introduced chicken on their menu. So if you don't like the Mac Nuggets, you don't like the Big Mac, you don't like the chicken burger, you can ask for 6-piece or 3-piece or 5-piece. At least you have that. That is how they've managed to succeed in Trinidad. You have to be spiritual enough to assess yourself and your ministry. Because when it comes to fame and popularity and things like that, a lot of people think that they are something. But you see, to whom much is given, much is required. Sometimes God has given you a strength to achieve many things that he has not given to somebody else. That's why the scripture says, they that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. Because to one is given one talent, to one is given two, one is given five. But if you are spiritual enough, you will judge all things and you yourself will not be judged. Amen. Oh, give Jesus a big hand clap.